Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hey, this is Sally Brooks. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am hanging out in the Westport Funny Bone with Miss Sally Brooks.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
This is exciting. I've been looking forward to this. I know, we've known each other a little while now,
mm-hmm.
and it was exciting to get the opportunity to sit down and kind of get to know you a little better. And,
yeah.
I guess I was trying to figure it out. I think we met, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. I think you were here with
Jeremy.
Essig, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I knew... Jeremy from when he lived in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of, I mean, you know, from comedy, and we became good friends. And he actually, yeah, he brought me here. I think it was probably the first time I was featuring here. Did we mm-hmm. Did he play the guitar? Did we do that rap after?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because we were doing that some of the time that week, but we would only do it for crowds that we decided deserved it.
Yeah, or maybe I saw it online or something. I don't remember. Yeah, but I do remember seeing something about that.
Yeah, I had these videos when I probably maybe a year into doing stand-up.
Right.
We used to have in Cincinnati, which is where I started doing stand-up, we used to have a show that was like, it was called Underbelly, and they now have it in New York and LA, but it's like stand-up's doing anything but stand-up. So mm-hmm. it was a lot of like sketch or characters or
okay.
whatever. And I did this like suburban housewife rap for one of the first shows, and another comic, Ryan Singer, I don't know if you know
yeah.
him, he was like, we should do a music video for that. So I did a music video, and it just like kind of took off online. Like,
okay.
I mean, I didn't like promote or anything. We just put it on YouTube, and some like mom blogs like picked it up,
right.
and then it just went kind of viral. And so I did, like, a bunch of those, this character, the suburban housewife rapping character, which is
yeah.
so, I mean, it's embarrassing now to look back at, but it was, like, they did get really big, and actually, I got a lot of opportunities from that, even though I was
sure.
pretty new. But so Jeremy, when I was here with him, I hadn't done that in, like, a while, like, years, and, but he was like, it'd be fun if I played guitar, and at the end, and you rapped, and Kenny Kynes was the MC, and
yeah.
so he was the hype man. And it was so much fun. Like, it was just, like, fun to do it. It was silly. Like, it wasn't, you know.
Sure.
Jeremy was just kind of like, oh, it'll be a fun thing for the end of the show. And
yeah.
it was. It was great. It was
nice.
Really great.
I saw Jeremy one night at Brennan's and in the Central West End here. And he did a guitar set kind of thing at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah. He told me he's been doing that.
I
haven't seen it. But, yeah, he said he's been...
He did, like, a... What's a... It was a Katy Perry song.
Really?
Yeah, he did an acoustic cover of it and on guitar, and it was interesting to see, you know, especially see him play and sing, because
yeah.
like, you know, only seen him do stand up and
right.
But it was interesting. It was funny just to
be in that moment where, because like you said, it was kind of a rare thing where.
Right. Yeah. I think he said he's been like every once in a while, like when it, you know, maybe it's like a Sunday show or something at like a fun club, like he'll have his guitar and he'll ask if anybody in the audience plays guitar, and he's like, there's always somebody who plays something, so he'll be like, just play like whatever you want, just like a basic chord, and then he'll do, like, while that person's playing guitar, he'll do his jokes to guitar, like he'll like sing his jokes, and he's like, it's just like a silly thing, and it's like, you know, can be pretty fun. He's like, if people get into it, and he's like, and people always like music, so whatever. He's like, it just makes him, you know, he's like, makes me not get sick of my jokes.
Yeah, it kind of breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I started seeing him play a lot more guitar though with the loser shows.
Yeah,
so those were that was a lot of fun being a part of those.
Oh, for sure.
I was actually we talked about it here with Jeremy, and I was on his very first loser show as a contestant.
Oh, really?
So that was fun. And
that's so great. When they did that tour, they came in. I live in West Virginia now. They came and they were in Pittsburgh, and so they came and stayed at our house because we're like an hour from there. Okay. So, so that was really fun. Like when they were on the tour, all crashed at our house.
Yeah. I saw like some of the pictures and things. I don't know. They got like Gabe Kia and stuff, like a couple other different people. Some of my favorite comics from around the different areas. They stopped to and they were, you know, jump on the and participated in the game with them and stuff. So.
Yeah. It was fun. That was a great show. If you guys haven't seen it, you should get out. Because it's in St. Louis, right? Once a month.
Yeah, once a month over at Heavy Anchor, the loser show. It's stand-up and sketch and video games.
Silly fun.
Pizza rolls.
Yeah.
I
think we're done promoting Jeremy.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously. He's great.
Yeah. So, beginning of the month, you recorded your album, right?
I did, yeah. So, my first album, recorded at Go Bananas in Cincinnati, which is my home club.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come out until, it'll probably come out in September. I'm doing it with Rooftop Comedy.
Oh, very cool.
I actually, this will come out next week. So my husband, we just found out, things have been crazy. He just got a job in New York City. So we're moving at the end of the month. So I'm just like, everything is like pushed back. So I'm going to like push back the album a little bit. Right. And so it's not going to come out for a little while. But, so I'm really excited about it. I've been wanting to do it for a while.
Yeah.
But it's also it's like pretty nerve-wracking as I'm starting to like listen back to the shows and I'm like, oh God, is this what I want to put out? I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, you start when you, like, you know, when I try not to be too precious with my material, you know, I'm not a deep comic. Like, I'm not making a statement.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, so on a night-to-night basis, I don't really have, I'm not like, oh God, what do people think of what I said? Like, I kind of like, oh, did we have fun? All right, great. Like, that was good. If I was a good show, that's great. But looking at, like, your material when you're putting out an album is, like, soul-crushing because you're like, oh, God, is this... Do I want to say these words that are going to be out there for forever? Like, and maybe that's putting too much into it, but it is... I mean, since it's my first one, I am a little nervous about, like, kind of what am I projecting? And but it'll be great, you guys. You should all pick it up.
Yeah. I had a little bit of that, not as much because I'm not nearly the spotlight that you are touring around. But with this show, it's something that kind of sits in the back of your head, like where you know you don't want to say something. You know, I speak freely, but it's like I also don't want to just say something and have it on recording, and it's stuck out there forever. And
yeah, I mean, just even we were talking before, and I got to a point where I was like, are we recording? Because I may want to not say those things, right? You guys will never know what we were talking about. Very
never
juicy.
I
do think that it is, like, it's a very different thing. And, you know, just as, like, for people who haven't seen me or don't know me as a person, like, what are they, like, what am I, what are they going to think of me as, like, I don't know, like things that I'm saying about my husband, like how am I projecting like my relationship or my, you know, I mean, because, you know, we all, like a lot of comics, like everybody kind of, you know, it's everything I say is based in truth. Like, I always start with something that actually happened to me or is true, but then, you know, you, like, make it fantastical. Yeah. And so I'm like, I just want to make sure, you know, I was like, trying, it's weird to look at it and be like, is this what I actually think? Is this how I actually feel? And then I think sometimes it ruins a joke, but you're like, well, that's not funny.
Yeah.
So
there's a, and that's the thing too, like the fact that how quick, all that can be changed, you know, somebody can pick up something and a little, just a little bit of your joke or whatever and get put in a blog or whatever and get spread around.
Right.
And already blows everything out of proportion.
Yes.
And the whole idea behind being a comic and being able to speak like that and but if you take that one little piece out of it where it doesn't, you don't get the full joke of it.
Yeah. Well, like I have a joke where I say the word sluts. Like, I'm like, live it up, sluts. And I know that is offensive, just kind of, but I've never thought about it that. I mean, I don't mean it that way. Sure. It's just like to, you know, it's just a joke. Like, but it did give me some pause about saying that, because I'm like, I don't want to like add to like slut shaming or whatever. You know, sure. I'm like, I don't want to get into this whole deal. But I left it in, but it did. It's like one of those things where you're like, I've said that a million times on stage, and I've never thought once about it.
Yeah.
And then when I was like really going through and figuring out what jokes I wanted to put on this album and like what order, I was like, ooh, maybe is that not feminist? Like, am I not feminist enough? Like, what am I? That I didn't even think about the fact that I'm calling young women sluts. Like, that is that.
I don't know. I think anything like that, though, too, it's just, it's all in, you know, context. I think there's a lot of things that people say, like, it's, you know, the message behind it, like, it might, the word itself, you know, could have a negative.
Right.
And, but if it's like, just because you say it doesn't mean, you know, there's, you can't tell the sarcasm in it or you know, that kind of stuff. And to where you could say a lot of things, but if there's a hate behind it, then it means one thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying this to my husband there. I'm like, I always feel bad when there's like a nicely dressed older woman in the audience, because I'm like, I feel like you're not going to like me, and I don't want to offend anyone. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say what I want to say, but I'm like, I don't want you to be offended, so maybe you shouldn't be here. Like, that's kind of what I think. But, I mean, usually, you know, they're fine. I'm the one judging them on what they're, you know, that they're going to be stuffy. But I always just think, like, oh, you're like, you could be my mom's friends, and I don't want you to, even though I'm a full-grown adult, like, I still am like, oh, I don't want to, like, make an older lady mad or, like, have her, you know, like, cuss around her. And
I was here one night for Josh Arnold, and It was one of the weirdest like crowds I've ever been a part of.
Yeah,
there was like this group, and I set them like right up here in front of the stage. It was probably like, I don't know, 10, 12, 80-year-olds or something, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
like, and they were having fun, but Josh's view, you know, he's, you know, these are his grandparents,
right,
or whatever, you know, stuff like that, like, in the same kind of thing. Like, he could tell that he was afraid to say some jokes because he's, you know, he doesn't know how he's going to offend this crowd or whatever it is. And then it kind of got to the point where he just let it go and said stuff. And
I mean, you have to trust them that they're adults as well, right? It's not like they haven't had the same thoughts and, you know, I mean, that we've had. And, and I mean, it is like, it's probably patronizing, or maybe that's not the right word. I don't know, to like think like, oh, you're old, you're not going to be able to take this joke this way, or you've never, you know.
Right.
I just know, I mean, I have had the, I think this is maybe, it's definitely more prevalent for women comics, where people, especially older women, or not even older men, but mostly, it's mostly older women, get offended when, like, you talk, like, have cuss or say anything, like, kind of sexual, like, I've had people like say something to me after shows, even though I'm not really that dirty. I'm like on the edge, you know, like I'm not like, I don't think anybody thinks of me as a dirty comic. And I don't like cuss a ton, but I do that's how I talk in real life, yeah. And so that's how I talk on stage, unless somebody's like, don't cuss. I'm like, okay, I can figure that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I always just worry about that, about, you know, I want people to have fun. I'm not trying to, like, I'm not like, oh, fuck the audience. They're dummies. Like, yeah. I really want to, like, everybody to have a good time. So it makes me sad when I'm like, I wish you hadn't come here. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I did a show. I was in Myrtle Beach, and the entire show was these Red Hat women. Have you ever heard of this?
I think.
It's like women, I think they have to be over 70.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can still have fun and be an old lady. And they wear red hats. That's their whole thing. And like purple.
I think there was like in a Spade movie or something. I can't think of the movie, but I remember he like was on a boat and he thought it was like a singles bus or a singles boat kind of thing, tour.
And it was cruise. Red Hat ladies.
Yeah. And it was all them. So he's like on this cruise stuck with all these old women.
Yeah. That's, I mean, and they're like, we like to have fun, but they're real old ladies and they don't really like to have, like, it was the most awkward because I was kind of like, you know, being kind of careful with them.
Yeah.
And this one lady was like, just because we're old doesn't mean we can't laugh at stuff. And I was like, all right. Yeah. And then I kind of was like, well, let's do it. And then they were like, no, that's not, you know, like, no, we thought we liked to laugh, but we don't, not at everything. Yeah. But yeah, it was like 35 red hat women, and I was just like, oof.
Reminds me another story. I went to see Steve Byrne and Derek Hughes. Do you know him?
I don't.
He's a magician comic.
Uh-uh.
He's actually it's pretty cool because I got to meet him several years ago, but now he's on America's Got Talent.
Oh, so, that's he's probably perfect for that.
Yeah, he just got passed on to.
That's great.
The
next, yeah,
passed the open audition thing, and
yeah.
But hit the act he did on there. He did a couple of jokes and things, but the big finale was he takes his card and folds it all up and everything, and then he like pulls it out of his butt, and it's the card that the girl drew or whatever. And anyway. It's so it was like a hashtag butt card was going or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was pretty silly, but he's a super nice guy, really funny, and an incredible magician as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw them at this like college show over at SIUE.
Uh huh.
And it was like freshman weekend or some kind of thing where all the families were there and parents and Derek worked clean,
right?
And you know, that was the family portion of the show, and then they came on and announced that the next part of the show is going to be dirty. This is for the adults, and like, so if you have any little ones, this is your cue to go on now. And there was a lot of people just stayed there,
right?
And there was like, you know, 10, 12 year olds, whatever, some kind of young ones right up in the front, and the same kind of thing. You could tell Steve's like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And eventually he's like, they warned you, here it is. And he said some joke about, you know, got real raunchy real fast. And then like watched like half the crowd get up and walk out. And like, that's made me laugh even harder. Like,
right.
That all these people are just leaving and stuff. But we had a great time after that.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, okay, the people who should have left in the beginning.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you're being rude by staying. Like,
yes.
They asked you to go, and, you know, if now you're going to be offended that they they said, but they warned you. So.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I got to that night, actually, Steve was doing a bit at the time where he, like, pulled people up out of the audience to join him on stage for this boy band kind of thing where they called it Sausage Party, and then like they had us like dancing and singing kind of thing, and when he walked over to buy us, like, my buddy Will, he's wearing like a nice button down shirt and hat, and then I'm like, either they're gonna pick him because he's dressed like that, or pick me because I'm as big as I am and everything, and as soon as he gets over there, he starts talking about my giant head, and he's like, you know, he's like pulls me up on stage, and I'm walking behind him, and he said something about, said he felt like he was pulling a Macy Day float or something like that, because I, you know, teasing me about my giant head, but it was a great night, though. It was a lot of fun, but the same kind of thing. Just people get offended.
And once, like, I mean, there's every once in a while you'll be in a place where they'll let kids in, mm-hmm. like, and usually with a parent, but it does, unless you address it mm-hmm. and be like, you brought this. Like, I've had shows where there's, like, a 13-year-old kid, and you're like,
sure.
You seem young, but your parents are okay, you're interested in comedy, and this is, you know, I mean, at 13, they're probably seeing worse on the internet. Sure. You know what I mean? You can watch pretty much anything. So, but, like, the rest of the audience sees that child and is like, oh, like, imagining if it was my kid, what would sure. I, you know? And so you have to kind of be like, they're cool with it. Like, you guys are cool with yeah. it, right? Like, we can all be cool. Because then, yeah, otherwise it'll just ruin the whole show. Like, yeah. ruin the whole audience, so.
Right.
Yeah, I always point it out. I'm like, you guys knew. This is not.
yeah.
You could have gone online.
yeah, sure, yeah. You can YouTube anything yep. pretty much. Like, so, yeah, do your homework before coming out to a show sometimes.
Yes.
But, yeah. So what got you into doing comedy? Did you, were there other female comics you looked up to, or was there, what was the push into it?
Not that then there weren't other female comics. Yeah. No, I've never even yeah. heard of another female right. comic. No, you know what, when I was out of college, I lived in Chicago, and I'd gone to performing arts school when I was younger, and so I was interested in acting, and I took an acting class, and it was horrible. And I just was, like, kind of more looking for, like, something to do after work and to meet people in the city. And so I ended up, I saw, like, a friend of mine, and I saw this stand-up class, and we were like, oh, we'll take this. And so we took it, and I did, you know, I did, like, maybe 3 levels of this class. They were, like, 6 weeks or something, 8 weeks, and at the end you have a graduation show. And it was a really fun class. There were some, like, a guy who's in Chicago now is doing really great, Sean Flannery. I don't know, he doesn't tour much, but he's a yeah. super funny dude. Like, Nate Bargatze took the class, yeah. that same class. But so I did that and just did a couple of mics, and then I quit. I moved. I hiked the Appalachian Trail. I went to law school. And I didn't do stand-up for, like, a while. And then once I graduated from law school, I was working, and I hated my job. And I was kind of like, you know, maybe I'll try. Like, I just really was, again, like, kind of looking for something to mm-hmm. do after work. Like, yeah. I hated my job, and I was like, I was kind of like you were saying, like, I was getting up, going to work, coming home, eating, going to bed, getting up, going to work. You know what right. I mean? And then hating work. So it was miserable. Sure. And I saw there was a class at the Funny Bone in Cincinnati. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll take that. I took the class and then started just doing kind of like open mics a little bit. And at that time, there were a lot of really great comics in Cincinnati. So it was like Cincinnati has a great scene, but it was a really fun time to be there, mm-hmm. as I'm sure, like, you know, when everybody was here in St. Louis, I'm sure, you know, yeah. like all the, like, so then... you know, like Dave Waite and Jeff Tate and Ryan Singer and Josh Sneed and yeah. Alex Stone and Mike Cody, like, and then Gabe came a little bit later, but like all those guys were there, and so we were kind of like all they were all working, and so it was like a fun time to kind of like start, and you got to really learn how to be a comic mm-hmm. because everybody was kind of bringing each other up, and those are all still, like, you know,
sure.
still my best friends. And so so yeah, I just kind of like got swept into being like doing open mics, and then started, you know, just, I mean, I was still working, I was a lawyer, I was like yeah. not really thinking, I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna do this for a living. I just was like, well, this is a fun hobby.
Sure.
But then it took over my life, and I started working a little bit, you know, emceeing, and I was maybe like emceeing like once or twice a month, and my husband got a fellowship in West Virginia, or not West Virginia, in Hungary. And so I quit my job and we moved there for a year.
Oh, wow.
And that is where, like, right when I did those videos, like I had just done that and then we moved. And so I was getting like, all of that was happening like while I was gone. So I was kind of making the videos while I was going. And then he got a job, he's a professor. He got a job in West Virginia. And when we moved there, I was just like, look, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. Like I feel like if I don't give stand-up a shot, like, this mm-hmm. isn't, you know, I'm not I'm not going to do it. And my husband's super supportive and, you know, was like, yes, I want you to be happy. I saw how miserable you were. I think it's great. Like,
sure.
And so pretty much, I mean, I just, when we got to West Virginia, I just didn't get a job. I mean, I did like some freelance writing and stuff like that. But I pretty much was like, I'm just going to be a stand-up, and which was way too early for me to really decide to not have a job. But it was either that or, I mean, there wasn't really any comedy in West Virginia, so I had to get on the road. And so, we moved there 5 years ago. So that was pretty much like, I've been just doing stand-up since then.
Wow.
Yeah. It took over my life.
That's pretty cool.
Those stupid open mics.
I can relate big time to that story because, you know, I do my day job and then I do this evenings and everything.
Yeah.
And it's not that this hasn't been paying yet.
Stand-up hasn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the love. I enjoy. Right. I really enjoy doing this, and it's become more and more of an addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully keep plugging away and it's mm-hmm. gonna and grow into something really cool. And
yeah, I mean, that's when I realized was I was like, I am way more excited about doing stand-up than I've ever been about anything. I mean, I liked law school. Like, I actually really liked going to law school. I was interesting and but I just didn't like being a lawyer. And I mean, I liked, there were some aspects of it. It was really, I had a great job and I had, you know, I had actually, it was pretty flexible as far as like a law job goes. And I was doing interesting stuff. I just was like, this gets me excited. And I think about it and I'm like way more passionate about this than I have ever been about anything else in my life.
That's great.
And I was like, if I, you know, I got to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm still in that mindset of like, I have to see this through, you know, like, who knows where it's going to go, but so far it's, you know, I kind of take it year by year. I'm like, if I look back and things are getting incrementally better, you know, like, I'm working at different clubs or I'm like, now I'm like, get to headline, like, that's those kind of things. I'm like, okay, well, this is still working, you know, kind of like you, I'm sure, like, you know, you do the first like podcast or whatever, and then like, it's building itself up and eventually it'll become something that hopefully and if it doesn't, then it's something, you get to do something you're passionate about, you know, which most people don't get to do.
Yeah, definitely not doing it for the money or whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's just, it's definitely, it's one of those, like, just satisfying to kind of scratch that creative itch, you know, just to be doing something, you know, original and creative. And
yes.
And, but yeah, and I'm the same thing with your husband. Like, my wife is super supportive of it all. Like, you know, people wonder, like, because I go to a lot of shows.
Right.
I'm out, you know, plugging into the scene and being, I'm always trying to, like, find new talent to bring on to the show. And plus, I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, people wonder how, you know, what she thinks of it all with him. But, you know, she's been, you know, super supportive of it all. I've been doing it since before we were together.
Right.
It's gotten probably worse since we've been together. But, you know, like I said, I do try to keep it balanced, though. And make sure we have, you know, we try to keep our Sundays as, like, our date day kind of stuff. We'll go out and do things as a couple and go dinner and a movie kind of thing or whatever it is. And but, yeah, it's just...
I think that is, you know, a lot of people are like, how are you on the road so much and you're married and how's that work?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, I don't think it would with most people. Like, I don't, I mean, not, and I don't mean me, I mean with my husband. He's just like, he's great.
Sure.
And he is, you know, he just is like, you're doing the thing you love and I miss you, but like, I would rather you be doing that than like,
miserable.
You know, than be miserable. And this, I think it's great what's happening. And I mean, part of moving to New York is so that I won't, you know, so I won't have to be on the road as much as I am now. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing to have a supportive partner, you know,
like
you hope that everybody has that because it's such a great feeling to be like, I mean, I, he's always like, well, you moved to Hungary and West Virginia for me. Like, of course, like, you know, I worked while he was in grad school and he's just, we both want the best for each other. We want each other to like, I want him to fulfill his dreams, you know, and he wants the same for me. And I'm sure that's the same with you and your wife. And that's,
I mean,
that's an amazing thing. And I don't know that I would be as cool if the tables were turned, like if he was the one traveling all the time and I was home by myself. So I don't know, but I'm just lucky.
Yeah. Do you have children at home too?
No.
Yeah. I just want, I mean, that would, you know, yes, even that, make it more, a little more complicated. Even
yes. Right? Yeah. I mean, not that I just don't know how I would do it. I mean, I've like this last year I was on the road 45 weeks. Like, right. It's not like out of the realm of possibility, but I don't know how we do it.
Yeah, yeah. People ask us, you know, since we recently got married and things, and asking us about, you know, babies and stuff, and I'm like, you know, I don't know. It's cool how it is now. We both like sleeping in, so
right. You got time. Yeah. You got time. You're young. You have time to worry about it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think if it, you know, the time happens. Probably definitely change things up a lot, you know, to probably won't be able to do nearly the the stuff I do now, but hopefully someday, you know, as my children would get older, I would love to get them out to as many shows as I can and introduce them to music young, because it's a big part of my life and I would love to share that with them and stuff. But
is that how you got into music? Were your parents into it, or you just
I mean, definitely they you know, introduced it to me young with a lot of, you know, I've talked about it on here how we used to listen to a ton of Lynyrd Skynyrd, ZZ Top, Allman Brothers Band. Like, my dad was big on 70s Southern rock stuff like that. And, you know, it's what he grew up on, you know, as a young kid. And, you know, it was all on the radio for him. And so we got, I turned on a lot of that and a lot of blues, you know, Clapton stuff, and even a lot of other stuff too. Like, I remember he had like this Conway Twitty box set, and like we listened a lot of Conway Twitty records in the truck and stuff. And anyway, so just a lot of music, very early on, but we didn't go to a lot of shows, and then. As I started getting, like, it wasn't until I was in, you know, 20s that I really started going to a ton of shows.
Yeah.
You know, we went to very little, even in high school. I didn't have, like, a big brother there or cousin that was right around my age where they started taking me to these shows or introduced it to me like some people. So a lot of it I started finding on my own, and especially when the internet was coming around more and I'm, like, being able to discover more music online in that sense, like, it just started kind of snowballing.
That has been amazing for, I mean, at least for me, like, to be able to, I mean, I definitely went through a period where I never found new music because I just was, like, I mean, I just got, like, kind of was, like, unplugged from that world, and now with Spotify, I feel like I'm like, oh, God, I'm always, like, finding new music that I like, and you know, and you're like, oh, there's just so much out there, you know. I mean, it is overwhelming, but it's pretty awesome to be able to, like,
That's kind of the, like, I tried it. I mean, I don't know what it was like 60s and 70s or whatever, but like, it seems like if you look at, like, the big thing, like, there was, you know, you had these huge bands, you know, Led Zeppelin and you know, Rolling Stones and Beatles or whatever, all these guys were doing their thing, but you never heard about it, like, a lot of the smaller groups and stuff, and, you know, I know there's obviously people playing, but it seems like now with the internet and stuff, how fast people can get, you know, become a sensation and stuff, like, where you can get a song or a video online and then start taking off. And we've had a discussion how, like, I don't think we'll ever have a band of that caliber.
Oh, right,
anymore,
they, like,
U2
or Zeppelin or
I mean, because I think maybe the closest we have now, really, like, I mean, besides, you know, like, Paul McCartney's still doing stuff, and U2 and Stones, and they're all still around, but, you know, of, like, newer bands coming up, I think the closest we maybe have to that is, like, a Foo Fighters or something, like, you know, they do really well, but
Probably like a rock band. I mean, I imagine, you know, I mean, pop stars.
Sure.
I mean, Taylor Swift is...
I mean, yeah, she's, like, probably the next for the biggest... But she does, you know, big sales. But, you know, you just look at what those bands did in the 70s stuff, and, And now the thing is, like, it's just so spaced out now. I mean, right. you take – everybody was buying the Zeppelin record.
Excuse me.
And then now everybody's buying so many records, so it's – or iTunes and stuff like that. But it's just cool that it's more spaced out to where everybody's kind of on a more even playing field instead of one, giant band or something. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's the same with comedy where I'm like, it's so great. Like, podcasts have made it so that – people can find their audience. So, you don't have to just go into a comedy club and hit or miss, that people are going to like your stuff. You can build an audience of people who already know you and who are already on board. I mean, it's done some like really amazing things for people, even people who don't have not just Marc Maron, like people who have really been able to find it's, I think it's great.
I listen to do you listen to comedy podcast stuff?
I mean, yes. Not a ton anymore, but I've listened to a bunch on and
off. I listen to Adam Ray and Brad Williams on the About Last Night podcast.
Yeah, I haven't listened to. I know Adam though.
Those guys are great.
Yeah,
they're a lot of. I met Adam I guess here for the first time at the Westport Funny Bone, and we became friends on Facebook and started following him there. But it's just really cool to see what he's been able to do, like, through the podcast, and then also meeting, getting in those movies with Melissa McCarthy now.
Yeah.
He's done two movies with her, with Spy and The Heat.
Uh-huh.
And, so it's just – but, yeah, he's I also listened to The Crab Feast with Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler.
Yeah.
I like those guys a lot, too.
Yeah.
So it's just fun to hear those, and the same kind of thing. Like, those guys gives them weekly episodes where they can, work, ideas and stuff too. And then they get to talk stories with their buddies every week and stuff like that.
And it gives people know what, come out to shows from that. I mean, you look at, like Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky. Like, I mean, I love their podcast, but they also they pack places out because people are, huge fans, which, I mean, they should be. But I imagine that, before they were doing the podcast, they were working comics, but it was probably not this. May have a full audience, but, 20% was, came out to see them. Whereas now, I mean, it's, almost a full house of people who are fans of theirs, which is such an amazing feeling to, oh, you're already on my side. I don't have to do the bullshit that I do to, get people, I don't have to prove myself to you. I'm just already, we're already here all together to have a good time.
It's the same, too, with their guests. Like, it's introduced me to a lot of people that I might not have known otherwise sometimes. Or that, because some of them are, more maybe regional comics or something, but to get to introduce them that way and then kind of keep an eye on them when they do come to your town.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
But yeah, Tom, I think he's playing Ready Room here in St. Louis in September.
Oh, that's great. He's so funny.
That's a big room for him to fill up there, and it should be a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, there's a lot of Firebird's been doing some of that too with these more alternative room kind of one night shows and stuff. And I just saw Matt Bronger over there.
Oh, that's fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah,
it
was great.
He was in town for a wedding or something.
Yeah, so I was just like, I saw him. It was one of the first shows I went to at Go Bananas, and he was featuring, and Tig Notaro was headlining.
Oh, cool.
And it was such an awesome show because he's so high energy. Yeah. And then she's deadpan. And it was actually a great combination.
Sure.
And it was such a fun show. And it was just awesome to be oh, yeah, he's done really well for himself. But to be he was featuring once too. Yeah. That's cool.
I met Tig at the Ready Room.
Yeah.
Also, she played there and got my record signed.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I saw her at the Limestone Comedy Festival, which is in Bloomington, Indiana, the first year. And it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen her a couple times, but this show was just I was oh, God, she's doing something totally different from what anybody else is doing right now, and it's just so great.
Did you pick up her live or whatever she wanted, however she...
I did, yeah.
She said it went both,
She
was open to interpretation.
Yeah, which was, amazing.
Yeah, that was an incredible half an hour.
Yes. And that it was just, It wasn't planned. Yeah. It was just, you know, somebody just happened to capture this, like, mm-hmm. one moment in time that was so amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
And super honest. I mean, like, it was, yeah. you know, I guess, like, you know, just all the stuff going on in her life, and she just kind of went out there and tried to make the best of it.
Yeah.
And
that it was
pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
So, yeah, if you haven't heard that special, go pick that up. It's
Yeah, I think you can do it. It's just like $5.
I think it was, it was on Louis's website. Yeah. I don't know if it's still there, but I'm sure you can iTunes or whatever somewhere.
Yes, it's great. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I think we kind of started with, but did you have influences that you...
You know, one of the first, like... When I started doing comedy the second time, like when I actually, I did a little bit in Chicago, but I never really, I mean, I went to like a couple of mics. I wasn't like ever serious about it. I just mostly was like, these are fun classes.
Yeah.
One of the first albums that I got was Jen Kirkman.
Okay.
And like her first album, I can't remember what it was called, but it was maybe Self Help, mm-hmm. something like that. But it was like very different and really kind of, it was, not stream of conscious, but it wasn't like a tight setup punchline. Like she told story, like long kind of involved stories. And I listened to that album probably like 100 times. Yeah. Like definitely some of my first jokes, you can hear like the tone, you know what I mean? Like her cadence in my cadence, you know?
Sure.
And, but I like loved it because it was, I mean, we're around the same age. Like she was like talking about things that I hadn't really heard comics talk about before. And it was, I mean, I just thought, I was like, that was awesome. So yeah. She's, like, always been one of my favorites. I mean, I was, like, a huge, like, David Letterman. I mean, that, like, for early, like, when I was a kid, if you would ask me who my hero was, it would have been David Letterman. And I think still, like, my total, like, my sarcasm and all, like, that's, like, completely from David Letterman. And, but, yeah, I mean, that, like, I think, yeah, I think that's it.
He's one, I mean, no disrespect, I mean, but I just, I there are a lot of people I've talked to in comics, everybody all talk about Dave.
Yeah.
Like, and it's obviously, there's a little bit of a generation there.
Right, that's what I was saying. You probably are more of like, you were a Conan generation.
Yeah, definitely big on Conan. And of late, like, I've talked to, too, how I like Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a while where, you know, I always recorded both of them.
Yeah.
And I liked, I used to watch Conan the whole way through.
Yeah.
Like, I liked his monologue a lot. I liked his bits and in his interviews.
Right.
And with Fallon, I always fast forward through the monologue.
Yeah.
And watched his games and his interviews and bits and stuff. And then it kind of got to a point where somewhere in there, like, I started watching more of Fallon's monologue and less of Conan's stuff. Like, I don't know what happened there, but I still really love Conan. I went to see him in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
A year ago, I think it was, and he was there.
Was he doing the show?
Cool. I took the show there for a week, and then... it was just, it was incredible. It was at the Chicago Theater there.
That's awesome.
It was just to be in that live. And it was crazy, like, this is one of my first TV tapings I've been a part of. And then, like, but to see, like, in the commercial break, the moving sets around and stuff. And, like, wasn't like, you know, okay, it's going to be 15 minutes or something. Like, no, they did it in like, the 2 to 3 minutes that you were seeing the commercial break on TV. Like, they got everything switched around and went... going in the next thing, and but it was a lot of fun, man, and I really like Conan a lot, though. He's one of the, definitely how I feel like that comparison, like you said, like where people look up to Letterman like that, and that's how I feel for Conan. But
yeah, I think, I mean, because I don't know if it's, it must be like high school when you really, like, that's when you really are able to watch late night TV, and that, I mean, I think that was like my big, you know, he was definitely the big influence for me. And not even in like, oh, I want to be a comedian, but just like, oh, this is what, like, I like it. Like, his sense of humor and how he's, like, his point of view is like, I want that. Like, that is, you know, like, I'm just going to adopt that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think I was just maybe, when I probably Conan started when I was in college. I don't know, high school, college. But I just never. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I just never stayed up that late.
Yeah, I know there's like the same thing. Even when I talk comedy, like with my dad, like, you know, I liked a lot of those early Sandler movies and stuff. Not as much of recent years, but
right.
But my dad can't stand Sandler, but I used to love watching him on SNL and stuff.
Yeah,
and all those all just the silliness of it all. And
well, it's hard to. There's some things where you're like, if it hits you at the right age, you're gonna love it forever. Like you can't not love a movie that you saw, like, you know, when you were 13 and it just made you laugh so hard. You know what I mean? Like, you're always going to be like, well, that was amazing. You know, like,
that's Tommy Boy for me.
Yeah,
like Tommy Boy is one of those that I watched as a teenager, and I still like can like quote every line and everything. It's just a big part of my life. It's such a funny
and your
movie.
Dad's like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Yeah, that's funny.
I miss Chris Farley a lot. That it's crazy to think what that guy could have done with his career and everything, but it went too soon. The same thing with Belushi, though, too. Like how, and I mean, even if you get into music and stuff, like what, like Hendrix and stuff, like how much art these young people created in such a short time.
It is crazy to be like, oh God, they were really young.
Yeah, I think,
like, they were really young people.
Farley and Belushi were 33 when they died. Like Hendrix and like Janis Joplin, I think, or something. There was a bunch of them.
They're like 27,
so they all like passed at the same age, and it's like it's crazy to think that how much they.
Yes, and how I mean, have people who are still huge influences today, like everybody knows those names, and they died at 27. You know, before like probably before you were born. Yeah. Like that's crazy.
Right. Yeah, and then I look at it like, you know, I'm 30 now, and it's like, man, well, that's crazy that they've did so much with their life before then.
Right, where you're like, oh, shit, I gotta really get my stuff together. I can't remember, one of the Malcolm Gladwell books is about, I might be wrong on this, or maybe it was an article. Maybe he wrote an article. About, basically, like, you know, we put so much stock in, like the fast risers, like people who get famous young or who are so talented, like the what is that called, like a young genius, you know what I'm talking about.
We'll put it in the net anyway.
Yeah, can you put it in the you know, the okay, put it in. I totally lost that word. But that, like, there, you know, it's way more common for people. There are, like, big success stories of people who, you know, happen, like, late bloomers.
Oh, for sure.
People happen later in life. So, like, there's a, I think one of the articles about a guy who wrote his first book. I think he published it when he was, like, in his 40s. And then it won, like, Nobel Peace Prize, whatever. He won, like, a big book award. That's how, you can see how smart I am. It's one of those big, the Scholastic book. Pulitzer?
Yeah.
Is that a book award?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, let's say he won
it
that.
It is today.
But yes, which is like, you know, it's. Sure. I think that's inspiring for writers who people, you know, this guy had like books rejected for years and years,
definitely.
and then got something like published, and it's like a masterpiece, you know what I mean? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard even stories with, you know, musicians too, like where they, you know, something that they like to do or whatever, and then all of a sudden like started, you know, doing it in public, and then whatever, it takes off where they're a big success in their later, you know, in their much older adult life and everything, it's cool though that people just, you know, it's proof, don't give up on your dreams, you know, if you want to do it, go out and make it happen, some people tend to put their life on hold sometimes with all, you know, when, you know, other things happen. So.
Right.
But yeah, that's cool. It's never too late.
Right. Yeah, you guys, that's our message today.
Yeah. Get out and do it.
Follow those dreams.
Have you seen that Shia LaBeouf or whatever, that, whatever you say his name, but that, have you seen that video?
Uh-uh.
It's like a, I don't know the whole story with it. Like, I just saw the YouTube thing, but some kind of like motivational speech kind of thing.
Is it like performance art?
I don't know. He's got some kind of ponytail thing. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'd like to find out the real story. Yeah. So I know the whole thing, but it's just really funny because he's like so intense, and he's like, you know, and he's like flexing. Like, I don't know if it's some kind of maybe. It's like shot on a green screen too, so it's like, I don't know if it's some kind of like movie outtake, right, kind of, or whatever. I don't know, but he's like, it really made me laugh because my buddies, they got a band Clockwork, and they made a little video and like, uh-huh, where they're like talking to him in the video.
That's, yeah.
And you know, so he's like saying something about dreams in there, you know. So like they said, Shy, it was just a dream, and he's like, if you can dream it, you know, you can do it, yeah, and stuff, and like, and then like, you know, he's like screaming, he's like, do it. And he's like flexing when he's doing it, and like it's just, so it's become like a YouTube trend.
Yeah, I
now.
Feel like I've seen it. I never, yeah, click on those things with him after he,
sure,
stole that guy's
yeah,
movie or whatever, you know, like somebody's story,
yeah, speech
from,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This, but it's, yeah, now it's become like a whole YouTube trend, like where everybody's like,
oh, to put your
yeah, cutting different things up with that, you know. So it was definitely, they Clockwork did a really good one on it. Was, made me laugh pretty hard.
Yeah, that's awesome.
it was well done. Like the way they had, like they had them like walk in and they were interacting with the video. Like,
right,
it was well done.
Okay.
But no, it's yeah, that's my little motivational,
yeah,
plug for the day.
Everybody, do it.
Yeah.
Just like Shia LaBeouf says.
Yeah, right. Just do it. So what do you got coming up? What are you looking forward to for the rest of 2015 here?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, moving to,
yeah,
moving to New York. We're doing, yeah, that. That'll be in the next month.
What are you, like, moving to the city or?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, this is like, he literally got the job offer yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, we knew it was maybe coming, but it's all happened the last couple weeks. So, and the job will start in August, so we are now have to, you know, get rid of half of, no, probably like 2/3 of our stuff and find an apartment. So, I'm not sure where we'll move, probably,
yeah,
you know, but we need to go up this month. We'll go up and get,
yeah,
an apartment. So
it's gonna be crazy though.
But that's, your listeners probably aren't looking forward to that for me, but so my album will come out in September.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to do like a little tour to kind of support that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just be on the road, man.
That's one thing, I meant to ask you about too, is, follow you on, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter now and all that. And, but you did that Best Buds of Comedy tour.
Yeah.
And but it just cracks me up when you're always taking pictures of all your friends on their phones,
yeah,
and stuff. And
it is it's my favorite thing to,
yeah,
do, and people hate it.
Yeah.
They hate it. Either they hate it or they'll be like, why haven't you taken a picture,
yeah,
of me? I'm like,
sure.
Oh, hang on.
what somebody got you, like you were on stage and somebody took a,
yes,
a picture of them on their phone watching you or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like that.
That was at the, that was at Bradwell Home, who's,
yeah,
in Bloomington. That's a Limestone Comedy Festival. Yeah. So
he
was like, yeah. He's like, okay. He's actually done some really funny ones. Like people will send me them,
yeah,
of other people doing it. Like they did a, like a Christmas picture with all the comics from Bloomington, actual Santa at the mall, and everybody was on their phone,
yeah,
and Santa was on his phone, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he went to, Disney World and he had Mickey, no, was that Mickey and Minnie on their phones too? I feel like that. Yes.
Yeah.
So Mickey and Minnie on the phone, and then they were all on their phones, and it's
that's
awesome.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like I'm starting a trend.
Yeah.
It's great.
I just posted a picture like 2 weeks ago, whatever, a week ago, whatever it was. I went to have lunch with Stacy at work, and
yeah,
and she's on her phone eating her salad, and I took a picture of her, and I'm like, you know, having a nice lunch with,
yeah,
my,
yeah.
Oh,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
I wish I would have seen it.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing. I do a lot of my husband, and he hates it.
Yeah.
he's like, but you're on your phone too.
Sure.
I'm like, I know, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's fine.
Yeah, it's,
and I'm not like, it's not to like shame anyone. It's just that I think it's funny. I think,
yeah,
it's funny to be like, look at how much people love,
sure,
hanging out with me. Like,
yeah,
everybody loves hanging out with Sally Brooks, like, and just everybody on their phone.
Right.
Which is,
yeah,
I want to, at some point, I want to get, like, I wanted to do this at the album recording, was to get the whole audience on their phones,
yeah,
but I realized, like, the lights were too low, and it just never, didn't work out, but I'm,
yeah,
like, that's my goal, is to get a big, have a big audience, and have everybody looking at their phones.
What do you think of, That did you see that last season of Last Comic Standing when?
I didn't. No.
Well, Ben Cronberg came on stage. It was, it was that old Roseanne thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did. But I heard about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he came on stage and he's on his phone and like, and then he made the joke like, "Oh, you go to work right away or something like that."
Yeah.
That was the joke. That,
and
you know,
it did not land.
Yeah. Well, obviously it also is edited, you know, for their effect,
right?
To make it. That was so who knows how it really went there, but like. You can definitely tell like how much they can cut it to where they make it look the way they want it to look.
Right.
But I've seen Ben a bunch of times.
Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah, but it's like but he definitely made the most of all that whole.
Yes, I was gonna say that's the best. I mean, that was the best thing that could have happened for him, right?
He went right out on tour after that and cashed in on the whole hashtag. Go fuck yourself, Ben, or whatever.
Right,
it was.
And, which is great. I mean, that's like. That's what you want. Like, either you do something, like, super memorable, or you have to kind of win it. Like, that's...
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the only moments people were talking about of that whole show. Like, you know, nobody, you know, I don't even know who won last season, so it's...
I don't either. Yeah, you're right. I did watch those first rounds because I had friends who were in it, and just to see who got on TV and who didn't, but...
Kind of interested to see how this season goes. They added Noah McDonald as a judge. He's replacing Russell Peters.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony Jeselnik is the host.
Yeah, I heard that, and then it's done. I mean,
I
guess I didn't get a call back.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, I did audition, but I did not get a call. I knew I didn't get a call back, but I'm just saying, like, oh, I guess it's, oh, you've already shot it? Okay. So it's not, like, no America Vote. Like, it's already whoever is the winner is the winner already.
Oh,
so.
I don't.
Which is actually, I think, great. I mean, because, you know, I mean, it's. America doesn't get it right,
sure.
You know, like that is, especially like stand-up, do you really want somebody who has the broadest appeal of, you know, of teenagers who are the ones who are going to be voting, you know, so yeah, I think that's exciting because it is, you know, Norm Macdonald, it is a legend, and Roseanne, that's pretty cool.
I just saw Norm a couple weeks ago, Lumiere.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, how was that?
It was all right, like, I don't know, it was much better than the time before I saw him.
Yeah.
The other time I saw him, I don't know if he was super drunk or what. It wasn't a very enjoyable. It was also a late show.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, who knows what had happened. But this one, like, it was fun. It started good and things. Like, and he made a real funny joke about, like, is he kind of sick?
Oh, okay.
And he's kind of coughing. And he asked somebody to bring him, like, a box of Kleenex. And he's saying how, like, you know, how he, like, coughs. He goes, man, that's something, you know. He's like, you know how when you're younger, you're like, oh, it's nothing. But, you know, now I'm getting older. I'm like, man, that's something there, you know. Like, and then he was saying how somebody brought him the box of Kleenex, and he sets it on the stool next to his, you know, had a Coke can up there.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he made a joke like how, yeah, it looks like I'm about to whack it up here. And he's got a box of tissues. And but anyway, so it was really good. I get... early, and then, like, somebody was telling me that he said it was the late show that night also. The first show of her didn't go as good.
Yeah.
And so I think you maybe try to make up for it in the second show.
Yeah,
and
that's a bummer.
And it kind of went long, but it also felt like he was stretching, like, you know, like, they lit him, like, twice.
Really?
And he's like, yeah, you know, he acknowledged it. He's, like, talking. He's like, yeah, they're telling me I gotta go, but I don't want to go, and it kind of like dragged on, and then he kind of, all right, I'm done, and just like walked off, and like, so it wasn't like a big you know, big finish or anything, like left with a nice memorable impression.
Right.
It was more like, oh, okay, that kind of dragged on and kind of fizzled out there at the end, but you know, still the same thing as like Norm's, you know, an icon. And
I mean, it's just like a guy just got to see Jeanine Garofalo, and just seeing her was like, I was like, I just feel lucky that I got to see her, you know? It's like amazing. Like, it's like, check it off the bucket list. Like, it's pretty great.
We, somebody, I was just having a conversation not too long ago about how, same thing, like, last time B.B. King was in St. Louis, like, people ripped him apart online because, like, they were, you know, how much such a bad show and all this stuff. And, like, but the fact that you got to see B.B. King play live is something not many people will ever get to do.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, now that he's gone, like, you should
you're
really...
like, oh, man, that was so great. I was at that show.
Right. So, but I mean, yeah, just you know, definitely capture the moment and be there. You know, is something really great. You know, just to have that memory.
Right. Well, and you've been to enough shows that you know, like. It happens. It happens to everybody, like, where you're like, not every show is great, you know?
I mean, we're all real people. Like, you know, you're going to have, like, I think, I don't really know, but I think around the time when I first saw Norm was also around the time, I believe, that, like, Artie Lang, like, tried to kill himself or something. And I know him and Artie are real tight. They're good buddies. And... But I'm sure that probably messed with him a lot, and, you know, I probably would drink, too.
Right.
If my buddy was in that situation. So, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, real life happens in between the jokes and the,
anybody that is consistent as a comedian, like, consistently killing.
Yeah.
Is probably not that interesting of a comedian. Right. Not that, like, I mean, you see people who you're like, they're, like, they always do great, but... You know, somebody that you're like is like a machine, like that you can count on, like, oh, they're going to get this many jokes at this time, you know, but they always do well enough. And you're like, well, that's fine, but like, where's the like, I want to see what's going to happen, you know, like, where's that like, I mean, Chad Daniels, one of my absolute favorite comedians, and, you know, he always is like, you're like, who's he going to piss off? Like, what is going to happen? But he, you know, he always is amazing, but it just is like, you know, he certainly has shows where, he does piss people off or whatever, but it's, I don't know, I think that's more exciting.
I love Chad.
He's
so funny.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's it. We did about an hour now.
All right, look at us.
Yeah.
We did it.
I
came straight from the pool, so I'm like in a swimsuit, not just, I have clothes over top of it. Don't. That would be weird if I was just sitting on the stage.
Just
hanging out in my swimsuit, you know, I didn't have time to change, so.
Just a regular old day. You got the website?
Yep, my website is sallybrookscomedy.com, and then you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at TheSallyBrooks.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and keep an eye out for the album.
Yes.
This fall.
Yes, this fall. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it at all. No. Yeah. No anxiety.
Well, thank you very much, Sally.
This
was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll see you soon.